Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Tuesday, March 13th, 2018 at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. And I have to say, Wendy, this has been a good day. We had a great show this morning with Cindy. And since then, I have been working diligently on editing this book that we've been promising people for a couple months now, because I figured, you know what, we should probably actually finish and deliver the darn thing. So, so I've been working like crazy
on
it. And I actually made some really good progress. I've got to the part where I'm working on the stories that Louise and I are submitting. And that's been an interesting experience, to say the least, because you know how it is. Anytime that you're telling your own manifestation story, you're reliving it. And that's what I'm doing. And, you know, sometimes it's good to relive it. Sometimes it's a little painful, because you go through painful stuff sometimes. And so my emotions are kind of all over the board right now. So I'm really looking forward to doing this show to, like, get back in that great place again. Because that's what happens.
With each one of the three stories that I wrote, because I would write it, and then I'd reread it, and then I'd write it again, and then I'd edit, and then I proofed it, and then I would, like, oh my gosh, I had so many iterations. It wouldn't surprise me if I redid every story or reread every story at least 15 times.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
that
literally. But I got to tell you, Walt, I ended up so inspired by my own personal experience every single time. I felt lifted, truly lifted in my life after it for like at least a week. And I was like, ooh, this is good stuff.
That's great. That's a wonderful response to get. That's really the ideal one, because when we relive these stories as we tell them, ideally we want to remember the high point, and that's what you were doing. You were living those high points, so that's fantastic. I probably should do more of that.
In my stories, there were still some low points, but you know, they didn't keep me. I wasn't stuck in that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I know in my own personal life, I've moved so beyond the vibration and energy of what was negative in those stories that I didn't go there at all. And I just got so emboldened and like encouraged by recognizing my own character, recognizing I have great perseverance. And, you know, when I focus on something, I don't give up until I've got what I'm looking for. And I'm like, huh, this is good. So that actually has helped me with my Project X.
Oh, really?
Because yeah, when I, you know, when there've been times that I start to falter and go, oh my God, it feels like an eternity that I've been working on this. Is it ever going to happen?
Right.
I just, you know, I've been able to pick myself and go up saying, look at the things that you've created in the past and you didn't even know about law of attraction then.
Mm. Yeah, true. Right.
Which I have to say, in a way, makes working on Project X a little bit more precarious for me, because knowing what I know, now I have almost this greater expectation that I should really be able to produce results.
Mm.
Whereas when I was, you know, the three stories I submitted, I was kind of living by default back then.
Right.
Two of them.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Yeah. Well, that's good, though, even though you, like you said, you had definite low points, particularly the house hunting story had some real low points to it. But despite the low points, you're able to focus on the high points. That's what I need to practice more as I'm writing these stories and working on the stuff that Louise wrote. I've got to remind myself it's the high points that I got to pay attention to. Because when you're telling the story, you have to get wrapped up in everything in order to get, you know, the full impact of what happened out on the paper. But you're right. I need to spend more time focusing on the good stuff, because the good stuff that came out of these stories was just unbelievable. I mean, it was really, really good. So I'm going to take your message to heart. I'm going to do that. So thank you very much.
Well, good. Well, since I'm speaking of Project X, not that anything specifically new has happened today, but there was an awareness I had over the weekend that I want to share, because it is significant to me, in that I think I don't remember the date that I set the intention for Project X, but I want to say it's been at least 2 months. And you know, I feel like I've gone up and down like a mini roller coaster. Well, it haven't been huge highs and huge low lows. That's why I'm calling it a mini roller coaster. I have gone up and down in my emotional bearings as I've been focusing on Project X.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess at the end of last week, I got such a huge kind of epiphany of how I absolutely know and trust that the universe really has my back, knows what I'm looking for, will absolutely deliver, because I was reminded of how my costume career got off the ground and how it wasn't something that I even planned for, but it was the most satisfying career I could have ever asked for.
Right.
And, you know, when I look at all the pieces and parts that went together as to how it actually came about, I recognize something bigger than me was orchestrating it.
Oh, okay.
And I was going along for the ride. I was like sitting in the boat, but someone else was steering.
Yeah.
And because it was so magnificent in terms of a career and being so fulfilled, that's what I was reminded of. I didn't even know about law of attraction then. And now that I do, I can have things happen so much quicker because I can help to focus my attention in the direction I want to go. But I was reminded, you know, by spirit, I was so reminded that like Project X is on its way. Wendy, you want it. We know what you're wanting. And what's coming is so much bigger and better than what you could have ever imagined. And so that was this sense of not just hope, but knowing, like, yes, that's where I'm going. It's coming. I don't have to question it or be concerned about it or spend any time in doubt because it's a done deal. Well, having that level of knowingness really has been quite astounding to me. But I started to pay attention to what it means to me and what it means along the way. And I kind of recognize how, you know, how we've been talking, or at least I've been talking about how I've really come to understand in terms of law of attraction that to manifest something, it's not as much about focusing on what you want as it is not focusing on what you don't want.
Right. Yep.
So it's kind of like you can have a new idea one time, never think about it again. And if you're never laying any resistance on the trail, it manifests either instantaneously or very quickly in such an easy way.
True, yeah.
And so I've really been taking to heart this awareness that it's the resistance that we put along our own path that cause things to take longer to actually manifest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so as I've been thinking about Project X, I've been thinking about the 2 months prior to this big epiphany has really been the removal of resistance bit by bit. So every day when I focused on what I wanted, whatever concerns I had were popping up. And because I was paying attention to them without consciously knowing this, I was literally clearing my pathway because I would see what doubt would show up. I'd address it until it was no longer available to me. It was no longer one of my doubts. Then I would refocus myself on, hey, I'm heading toward Project X. And then a couple of days later, something else would pop up, a concern or a what if. And then I'd look at the what if and I'd address it until it was no longer an issue because I had found new ways to think about that. And so for the last 2 months, I've been moving forward toward Project X. And as I've stayed focused on Project X, these little resistance pockets were showing themselves to me. And how it showed itself is through negative feeling. I would feel uncomfortable or icky or something about it felt scary or, well, you know, what if this happened? What if that happened? What if it doesn't happen? And each one of those, because I've addressed them, and basically transmuted the energy of the fear into hope, all those things that were in the way got handled. And I have to say that what feels like all that's left is it's a done deal. I know it's done in spiritual reality. I absolutely know it. I believe that everything on an earthly plane is being positioned for me. So it's like Project X is moving and grooving, and I know it. But the thing that feels so cool to me is that while I've been working on manifesting something specific, the learning along the way has been tremendous. And that, recognizing that by focusing on Project X, all these negative things were popping up. And I'm grateful for them popping up because they were the resistance pockets that were preventing Project X from manifesting quickly. But I dealt with each one as they came up. I wasn't afraid to look at it. I didn't push it under a rug. most of the time I talked about him on the show. I've revealed whatever was there. And then when I got a new way to look at it, I revealed that as well. And the new way to look at it, the new perception, has been what has stuck. That's the new stuff. And mm-hmm. I believe it's really cool because I feel like it's really the whole process I've been experiencing with Project X really undergirds the awareness that I've really come to, which is it's not so much focusing on the positive that causes things to manifest. It's not focusing on what you don't want that makes the difference. So what I've been doing along the way is releasing resistance until there's almost nothing left.
That is so different from what we normally hear when we hear a guru, right? The guru always talks mm-hmm. in terms of, well, you just have to get yourself into that positive state of mind and you focus and you get really excited and all that about, you know, what it is that you want, and then you release it, you go on with your life, and then you don't do anything until it shows up. And in reality, stuff shows up all the time, but it's not mm-hmm. always what you want. And that's what you were running into. You were running into all the stuff that was showing up that was basically, like you say, your own resistances coming up, and you had to deal with them. You couldn't mm-hmm. just say, oh, no, I'm done with that. You had to actually deal with them because they were right there in your face. So right. you did. And the way you dealt with it is just, in my opinion, textbook perfect, because you didn't spend a lot of time on them. You didn't build up a lot of energy about the negatives. You simply addressed them and said, okay, what is this? How am I going to handle that? Mm-hmm. How am I going to respond to it? Where's the positive that I can find in it? And you just did that over and over and over again. And as you did that, you ironed them out. So you were actually clearing space. You were clearing the way for this thing to come through.
Well, and here's one little caveat. I don't specifically look for what's positive in this that I can use to replace the negative. That to me is a very typical LOA kind of approach that many have used.
I'm guilty of it. I've done it.
Well, I was going to say that has never really worked for me. Or when I tried it, it just didn't work for me. But what has worked for me, and this is what I want to share, is that I've said, what is it my inner being knows about this that I don't?
Mm.
Because when I can connect with what my inner being knows, it blows out the paradigm of whatever negative thing I was thinking or believing before. I mean, that has been my go-to question, that once I land on it, once I find, like once I come into resonance with what my inner being's thinking about as something, whatever it is, without fail, 100% of the time, once I'm there, the old thing is gone and never returned.
Because you've addressed it.
I'm not looking for how can I look. Of course, whatever my inner being is focused on is going to be positive. That goes without saying. But for me, instead of saying, well, what positive thing can I latch on to instead of what negative thing I've been latching on to, I'm not looking for just anything. I want what's the specific thing my inner being knows. And the reason I say that is because I've done this with others when I've, you know, had clients, and I've had coaches do this with me, where we just kind of take a shot in the dark. Okay, so you're having a bad hair day. So maybe what you're preferring is a good hair day. And the client goes, no, that's not what I really want. But what they're presenting is I'm having a bad hair day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just look for the opposite, where I'm having something negative and you want to look for the positive, that's why I say that doesn't always work. It could in some circumstances. But what I know is if I can connect with the thought or the belief that my inner being is holding, it may have nothing to do with hair at all. You know, I mean, it could have to do with, I just want it to be, you know, sunny outside. And you go, well, how does that have anything to do with having a bad hair day? Well, you and I might not be able to make the connection, but the individual who's saying the words, I'm having a bad hair day, if their inner being said to them, you're just wanting the sky to be blue and the sun to shine, they're like, yes, that's it. Because a person's inner being knows exactly what that individual is actually seeking, regardless of the words they're using to describe the situation.
It's funny, and you should use a weather analogy today, too. The fact that you're using a weather analogy is appropriate, because here in the Northeast, we're in the middle of a snowstorm. I'm looking out the window mm-hmm. as I'm talking at snow falling. and it's been falling pretty heavily the last few hours. It's going to pile up pretty good by the time it's done. And we're in the middle of March, so most people want spring to be here. And I do too. I want that blue sky and that sun and that, you know, little puffy clouds and the temperatures in the upper 60s, low 70s. That's what I want, and that's what I'm dreaming of. But as I'm looking at the snowstorm, obviously I'm not seeing that right now, but I'm having an interesting reaction. My interesting reaction is, that snowstorm's really pretty. I like that.
Hmm.
It's a pretty snowstorm. I mean, I'm warm. I'm comfortable. I'm sitting in a nice warm house, right? I'm talking to you, mm-hmm. talking to the audience. It's not a bad thing. This is actually a pretty good thing. I feel pretty good right now. So I know that very soon that sunny day with the blue sky, that's coming, because spring is my favorite time of year anyway. So it's coming. It's going to be here real soon anyway. And I don't have to be miserable waiting for it. I can actually enjoy what's going on right now because I know it's coming.
And so if you were to wonder what your inner being is thinking about looking at the outdoors today, what do you think your inner being is focused on?
I think I just voiced it. I think I just said
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Exactly. And so what you said was just a beautiful description of how many people go, it's still snowing. When is spring going to get here? But if you want to feel good, instead of going, what positive thing can I latch on to? So I wonder how my inner being is, you know, thinking about the weather. Well, the inner being, you know, it's exactly what you said. I'm warm. I'm snug as a bug in a rug. I can sit and, you know, have my hot chocolate while I'm talking to friends and on a topic that's really fun, getting to enjoy the beautiful snowflakes. You know, knowing spring will come like spring always comes, but I'm enjoying what's here today.
And it's really pretty, by the way. I mean, that's the nice thing about a snowstorm. It pretties everything up really well. I don't care how ugly your area is. Everything looks nice after a snowstorm.
Absolutely. It feels clean and fresh.
It does.
And so, like, if there's ever, you know, I always say, if there's one thing I could get across to people, well, I could have a new one every day. But for today, if there's one thing I could get across today, it would be, yes, you can look for the positive in everything in order to feel good. But be more pinpointed, because your inner being knows exactly what you will, how you can feel good today, right now, in this moment. And it may not be the same thing that makes someone else feel good, because their inner being's in charge of telling them what'll make them feel good.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
true.
Whenever I'm focused on something that's unpleasant, instead of going, so how do I feel better about this? And sometimes that's where I start, but eventually, I will eventually land on, oh, yeah, I forgot to ask my favorite question. Hey, inner being, what do you think about this? Help me align to what you're thinking about, because I know when I'm aligned to that thought, I will automatically feel good. Automatically.
That's really good.
And even like we talked about the other day, positive and negative are really judgments that we place on things.
Yes, they're preferences.
You know? So I don't need to know what's positive. I want to know how my inner being feels about something, because my inner being feels is focused on something that will automatically boost me vibrationally into feeling awesome, into feeling that happiness.
Well, this is interesting, because yesterday when we were looking at the book, The Law of Attraction, The Basics of the Teachings of Abraham, and of course we're continuing that today, that we were finishing on a section that's entitled, How Can I Assist Those Who Are in Pain, Who Are Feeling Pain? And we did the first half of it. And I'm wondering if the second half is going to tie into what you just said. Because the second half is where Abraham described how you can't create the experience in another person. What you can do is get yourself into good space and basically provide an example for them. And so Jerry says, well, I can do that. I can focus on what I want, on that joy. And I can learn to allow them to have whatever experience they create. So would it be accurate to say that if I focus on their painful experience, that I will now create pain in my own experience, and then I'll be setting that example, the example of a painful experience?
And Abraham says, let us say that someone in pain comes into your experience, as you see, well, you know what, did we read this yesterday?
We might have.
What's wrong with
But we
talked about this, but let's go ahead and read it.
I think it ties directly into what we were just talking about.
Yeah, because we did read this. So Abraham says, let us say that someone in pain comes into your experience, and as you see them in their painful experience, a desire wells up inside of you that they find their way out of their painful situation so their pain only brushed up slightly as you quickly identified your desire for their joyful solution. If you then turned your undivided attention to their successful resolution of their painful situation, you would feel no real pain, and you would be the catalyst to inspire an actual solution for them. That is an example of what true upliftment is. However, if you only focus upon their pain or upon the situation that has caused it, you will activate within yourself the vibration that matches that, and you will also begin to feel pain as you then begin the attraction of that which you do not want.
And the reason I thought that tied in directly to what we were talking about prior, about how you were working through your stuff, so to speak, in the pursuit of trying to attract Project X successfully into your life, is that you talked about how you addressed something that would come up, some sort of resistance that would come up. You'd face it, you'd put it to rest, you move on, and then another one would pop up, put that one to rest after you addressed it, and so on and so forth. You were basically working your way through. You weren't allowing yourself to fall into the trap of, oh, this is a horrible thing that's come up, and I'm agonizing over it. Instead, you came up with, well, what does my inner being tell me about it? How do I feel? What's the best way to look at it in terms of what my inner being is telling me, and so on and so forth? And that got you through it. Well, essentially, that's what Abraham is saying here. If you basically tie into your inner being and find what's the way your inner being is looking at this, which is always going to be a positive, and then you reflect that back to the other person you're trying to help, that's going to give them help. If you, on the other hand, focus on all the terrible things that are going on, all you're going to end up doing is feeling the pain.
Right. And I know that even many, many years ago when I would work with clients, I was so empathetic that, and on the surface, being empathetic oftentimes gives a client a feel-good experience because you're kind of wallowing with them in their struggle and you're kind of validating like, yes, that is a horrible thing. And yes, I understand why you feel this way. Oh my gosh, yes, this person really did, you know, hurt you, betray you, blah, 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 X, Y, Z, whatever. However, two things occurred. One, now it was much harder to move my client toward a better feeling place because we had now reactivated and kept the momentum going on what they already had been doing, which is feeling bad. And two, now I was drained. I was feeling low. I was like, oh my gosh, this poor person.
Exactly.
They've been through hell and back.
Yeah.
I don't know how to encourage them now because now I'm feeling pretty crappy myself.
You're not really helping anybody at that point.
No. And so it definitely was a practice and a skill I had to train myself in so that I can listen to someone, but I didn't want to become cold.
No, of course.
I didn't want to just kind of go, yeah, okay, so you've had that happen. Now let's move on. You know, there has to be a much better place where I can be somewhat sympathetic. But I have even been known to say, I hear what you're saying. I am acknowledging and recognize this was a struggle for you. However, I'm not going to follow you into your struggle because that's not going to help either of us. Because, and I'll ask them, are you wanting to come out of this? And if they say yes, I'm like, then I'm going to, you know, help gently lead you on a path for you to leave it. But I can't go to where you are or we'll both be in the muck and the mire.
Right.
And when I explain that to them, they're like, oh, okay. But I was really explaining it for me. Mm-hmm. I was saying it so I could feel okay of changing the way I've done things and not being so empathetic and not following them.
Oh, absolutely.
But this way we were both on the same page. So yeah. I said it as much for me as I did my client, and then I could pull them out of their sand trap and we could move forward.
Yeah, that absolutely works in a complete way. Now the next section also addresses in kind of a different way what you were talking about in terms of, well, shouldn't I just reach for joy? So let's see what they have to say here. It says, the subhead is setting a joyous example the key? And Jerry asks, is the key to just continue to seek joy myself, to set that example and allow the others, really allow them to have whatever experience they're choosing in whatever way they are choosing it for themselves?
And Abraham says, you really have no other choice but to allow them to have whatever experience they're attracting because you cannot think for them or vibrate for them. And therefore, you cannot attract for them. Mm-hmm. True allowing is maintaining your own balance, your own joy, no matter what they are doing. So the advantage that you offer them is that as you remain in balance, connected to your own inner being, aligned with the wonderful life-giving resources of the universe, and you hold them as your object of attention, they benefit.
Mm.
The more you feel good as you hold others as the object of attention, the greater the power of your positive influence.
So there again, connected to your inner being. Now, if you're helping somebody else, it's even more important to stay in that connection and to get signals from your inner being.
I love the idea of being greater, having greater power in my positive influence.
Yeah.
And how I can be more influential is by holding them as the object of my attention, by viewing them as whole, happy, healthy, successful, radiant, vital, you know, instead of whatever they're actually talking about.
And I'm sure you do that all the time as a coach. I know, I'm not a professional coach. I do a podcast, but that's about it. But in my own life, I have tried doing just that. I actually should be thinking to myself to do it more often because I've been successful. But on those occasions where I knew someone was struggling in some way, when I remembered to focus on them and think of them in that positive light and think of them succeeding and think of them, you know, finding solutions to the things that have been troubling them and, you know, just basically holding them in that positive light in my mind, invariably I get a contact from them sometime in the next few days that basically confirms that things have turned around for them. It's really amazing how often that happens.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is real cool. It's almost like, well, why don't you do that all the time? What's wrong with you?
Well, and you know what? It really matters not whether someone's a coach or calls themselves or not, because we all can be uplifters.
That's true. Yeah.
Every one of us. And just because I'm not in a coaching session doesn't mean I'm not wanting to still provide something that's encouraging and uplifting for the people I come in contact with.
And quite honestly, it's one of the reasons I like doing the podcast. I mean, one of the thoughts I hold in my mind is our listeners. And I think of them as being wonderful listeners, fantastic people, advanced people, advanced deliberate creators. And I imagine them doing the same kind of thing, holding people that they know in their minds in the same way. And I imagine the ripple effect of that. Can you imagine, you know, like hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people doing that on a regular basis? Can you imagine how much improvement we'd see in this country and in this world in such a short period of time just through that?
Oh, it's an incredible, astounding expansion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that. I love that.
I mean, just that inspires me. That's why I keep asking myself, Walt, why don't you do it more often? Come on, get with the program.
Well, and honestly, I know that at the beginning of the show and sometimes in the middle and the end, I deviate from our topic. I go with a flow that like others may not see how or why I'm going there. But if I feel I have something to share that is my own personal experience, and I know sometimes it's not the way the average law of attraction guru speaks, but it's the experience that I've had of how I've gotten to success, I choose to share that. That's an area I want absolute transparency, because if I were to just tell somebody, do this, do this, do this, I promise you almost 9 times out of 10, they won't be able to accomplish the success that they're looking for. What people I think really need is getting inside of somebody's experience to watch it for themselves. I mean, even though there's a ton of reality shows on TV these days, and some of them, in my estimation, are kind of goofy and they're things that I don't choose to watch, not because I judge it, it's just not something that appeals to me. The ones that really do are where you're really watching kind of people's real lives. I'm very interested in certain things. Like, I love the ones where people are out, you know, in Alaska and living off the land. I'm incredibly fascinated by that. And I want to see, what does it look when they do a cattle roundup, and what does it look like? How do they get through, different weather conditions? And just watching them and listening to the things that they say really gives me new insight. But if they were to have just written a book and said, well, this is how you survive the wildlife and the extreme temperatures in Alaska, I probably wouldn't take from it nearly the same as what I do by watching them and getting inside their heads while they're going through the struggle. And so therefore, that's what I try to bring as much as I can. Here's what I'm struggling with in this moment, or here's the epiphany that just came to me. Or while we're on the show, while you and I are talking, I'll go, here's what's coming to me right now in this very moment.
Sure.
Because I really want to share with our audience, those who maybe haven't yet experienced what I have experienced, this is what it looks like, sounds like, and feels like for me. You know, and it doesn't mean it's going to be that way for somebody else.
No, not necessarily.
But I my hope is that if I can give them some insight as to how it experiences through me, that when maybe they have a moment, they can go, oh my God, I just had a moment, just like what Wendy talked about. This is what that looks like. This is what my inner being has been trying to get along, say to me all along. Or this is what my inner being sounds like. Didn't even know that. You know?
Yeah.
And I've had tons of ahas when I've listened to other people be so transparent that I go, oh, I've had that happen a million times.
Sure.
I just didn't know that's what it was. And here I've been looking for that, but I hadn't recognized it. Now I can recognize it in my own life. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's right. And speaking of reality TV shows, you mentioned that you get all this cool stuff out of reality TV shows. When I think of the term reality TV show, I often think of the more dysfunctional ones, you know, like Real Housewives of Atlanta or something like that. And the one thing I love about those shows, well, two things I love about them. First, I don't watch them. That's the thing I love most about them. But the second thing I don't love about the second thing I love
You're
most
so
about
silly.
Them is that they, well, there's a serious point here too. You're right. It's funny, but it's serious at the same time. The serious point is, I look at very briefly because I don't watch it very long. I'll look at like 10 seconds of one of those Real Housewives shows, and I'll remember this is reality TV, and I'll look at it and I'll say that is like no reality I have ever known in my life. If I ever needed proof that reality was malleable, this is it. Because that has nothing to do with any reality I've ever seen. So if that reality exists somewhere, then clearly reality is totally malleable.
Well, and reality is what you create it to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we both live in the same reality, theoretically, according to the realists, right? Well, if we live in the same reality, I should be having the same experience as those housewives, and I promise you, I am not.
And didn't I think they had Real Housewives of Dallas?
Yeah, they probably did.
I think
all the big
but
cities
you know
got
what?
Them.
I don't know a whole lot of women that act that way or look like that either. But then maybe
no,
I'm not going to the posh galas that they're attending. I'm in Dallas and I don't act like that or look like that.
But to me, seriously, that is real proof in my mind that reality is completely malleable, because you have two entirely different realities there. That's so different from the reality of my world.
I think I like to say reality is truly what you make it.
It literally is, yeah.
So every reality show that you're thinking of, whether on one extreme or another, it's somebody's reality.
Just not
it
mine,
just
thank God.
May not be yours, yeah.
I'm
I mean,
so
like,
glad.
I love to watch Alaska, The Last Frontier, and Life Below Zero. Both of those shows are, and also, Yukon Vet. There's one of them that has to do with a vet that lives in the Yukon, and she does big animal veterinarian stuff.
Okay.
And I'm just really attracted to things in kind of like wildlife settings. But they're doing real life stuff, and I learned so much by their experience, because, you know, I'm in Texas where it's bloody hot most of the time.
That's right, yeah.
And the things that happen for them are very different than what happens for me, but I don't have to travel. And I can experience it vicariously through them. And honestly, sometimes because I've watched these shows so many times, when I want to be imaginative, I can draw upon those experiences that I've witnessed others in different reality television programs, what they've experienced. And it becomes mine, because I know that my mind does not know the difference between what I'm really living or what I imagine living.
This is true. Yeah.
And so I do like to focus on certain kinds of television watching that expands me into areas that are of interest.
Yeah, Louise has a program she likes to watch that comes to mind called The Barnwood Builders. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure, I've seen that one.
Yeah,
cool.
Six good old country boys who use their machinery and they take down old shacks and save the lumber and use it to build brand new homes, but using this old lumber. And so they're basically recycling old buildings, which is pretty cool in itself. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, quite honestly, their lifestyle is so dramatically different from mine that, I mean, I can't even find a parallel other than they live in the United States.
I don't even own a plaid shirt. Let alone a plaid flannel shirt.
I mean, we're from the same country, and so there's a certain, you know, similarity there, but that's about it. You know, but their reality is quite different from mine. And I'm not saying there's anything bad about it. It's actually a very good reality. What they're doing is great stuff. It's just nowhere near what my life is. My life is completely different from that. Well, there's more proof. Our reality is what we make it.
Yep. It truly is. It truly is.
So why don't we continue with what Abraham had to say here? So let's see.
Yeah, so they weren't done because, you know, right. They're never done.
No, they never are.
Never get it. Yeah,
well, if they were ever done, we wouldn't have a show.
So they go on to say, you will know when you have reached the point of allowing them to be, do or have, whatever they want or do not want, when, as you are aware that they are doing it, you are not feeling negative emotion about it. When you are an allower, underlined and in italics, you are feeling joy as you are observing the experience of all.
Now, that's an art right there. That's not always easy to do.
So somebody is griping, moaning, complaining. They're talking about something that's really not pleasant. And while you're in their space, whether talking to them on the phone or you're with them in person, you know you're in a state of allowing when you are still able to feel joy. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. That's a skill. It's not just an art. It's a skill to be able to do that.
And I like to call it a practice, which means it's something you practice doing, and then it becomes a skill.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's good. I like that. That's very good.
So they say, you have come full circle with your questions in helping us explain the three laws that are so very important.
Okay.
The law of attraction is responding to the vibration of your thoughts. And as you deliberately offer your thoughts by choosing thoughts that feel good, you allow your connection to your inner being, to who you really are. And I like how when they talk about who you really are, that is your inner being. That's who you really are.
Yeah, that's pretty clear from what they say there.
So when you are connected to who you really are, anyone you hold as your object of attention benefits. And of course, in all of that, you feel joy. In time, you will be so aware of how you feel, and you will become so adept at deliberately offering your thoughts that you will predominantly be in the state of positive attraction. And then, really only then, will you be comfortable in letting others create as they choose. When you understand that unwanted things cannot assert themselves into your experience, but that everything is invited to you and by you through thought, you never again feel threatened by what others may be choosing to live, even if they are very close by, for they cannot be a part of your experience.
There's another big skill to learn right there. And it's one that I've been learning over time. I'm getting closer to it. But that's like one of my big goals in life, to get to the point where literally no matter what anyone else is doing or thinking, it doesn't affect me. It just doesn't affect me.
I consider that the ultimate freedom.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, when you're so free that you can, like, okay, because you know I don't like the conversation of politics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so free that when I can walk into a group of people who are very highly politically motivated, debating, arguing, discussing, and whatnot, and I can just smile and listen to what they're saying and have it not negatively affect me, that's freedom.
See, you're definitely doing better than me in that case, because I've made a lot of ground over time. But right now, if I walk into that room, rather than feeling joy, what's likely to happen is my eyes are going to roll, and then I walk out of the room.
Well, because I have been so disgusted in the past by political conversation, I stayed away from it for a long time. And then I would like dip my toe back into it. I might listen to some people talking about it, or I might listen to, some kind of a political debate on TV. And if it bothered me, it was still a problem, I'd jump back out and go, yep, not ready for it.
Yeah, right.
Have not improved my vibration significantly enough in that arena to have it wash over me as though it's nothing. But I you know, what I believe is you can't just go, oh, okay, I just don't want that to be a problem. You have to actually find new ways of thinking. And you have to think about these new ways that feel more empowering over and over and over till they become a belief. Because remember, a belief is just something you think about a lot.
Right.
And then when you believe these new empowering thoughts, then you then for me, I walk back into like a political conversation and I just pay attention to how I feel. And I will tell you that during, I guess it was the prior to the Trump and Clinton, you know, whatever, the debates.
The debates.
I watched every one of the debates.
Did you really? Wow.
Yeah, which really shocked me, but I really felt drawn to them. So I watched every debate, and I could not tell you right now what either party stood for, but I can tell you that while they were talking, I listened to them, and I kind of almost felt into who they are. And I'd listen to Hillary, and I go, she is really speaking her truth.
Mm-hmm.
She means this. Whether it's good or bad for the country, this is something that from her heart, she's wanting to say, I feel like this will make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd listen to Trump,
mm-hmm.
and I'd go, okay, he is speaking way different than Hillary. But you know what? As I really tuned into him, I go, he is really speaking his truth. That doesn't mean it's anybody else's truth, but he really believed what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And even the way he says things, as kind of bizarre and crass as he is to most people, that is his, I mean, I believe he believes he's very compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other people might go, are you crazy? He's a lunatic. I believe he believes what he's saying, just like Hillary believed what she was saying. And to me, it was just an incredible study of humanity. But I was learning about me. I was learning that I was able to tap into anybody, regardless what side of the fence they were on. And I didn't have this sense of you're right, you're wrong, or the other way around. I just listened to who they were. I wasn't listening as much to what they were saying or what position they were taking. I was listening to them. Like, what really means, what makes them tick? And I got to tell you, I watched every one of the debates. I never once walked away feeling negative. And that let me know, oh my gosh, in this area, something that used to hold so much negative emotional pain for me, I'm like, wow, I must have cleaned this up sufficiently. My beliefs around politics have changed dramatically.
That's
because
good.
I really do have a belief that the people who are in our government, they're not doing it because they're trying to get rich. They're not trying to rip people off. They're not trying to control everybody, Tom, Dick, and Harry. You know, whatever. I really do believe for the majority, they're doing the best they can trying to make a difference.
Well, that's interesting because you also said that that you were learning about your inner being. And I wonder if you could just talk about that for a second, because I get the feeling there's a message there that you haven't really shared.
Well, I mean, and now what I'm going to say really kind of comes more from Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard Abraham do several rampages about our government.
Mm-hmm.
And about our government, about lawyers, about doctors, about many bodies of people, you know, that have like a lot of power behind them, about, you know, like big pharma, that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And at the heart of all of the rampages, there is a sense of people are really trying to do good. They're trying to make a positive difference. Everybody's going about it differently, but they really are wanting to make a difference. It's just how they do it sometimes rubs people the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was watching a medical program. It's called The Resident. It's relatively new. I think this is like the fifth episode. And there was this conflict between the young resident and a more veteran doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And she's an oncologist and he's a resident. He's not an oncologist. But they were both working with the same patient. It was an older man. He was in stage 4 cancer. And she totally believe, let us do a biopsy, then let us put you into a protocol and do radiation, and let's be really aggressive with chemotherapy, because I believe that we can extend your life.
Mm-hmm.
The resident had already talked to the patient and his wife, and they were asking very poignant questions like, well, how long will I really even have if we extend my life, you know, and what's it going to take? And, you know, and bottom line, it was like, well, you might extend your life by 5 weeks.
Mm.
And the patient's like, are you kidding? I'm going to like go through in a compromised immune system, feel sick, nauseous, blah, 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 for how many months? And it might only extend my life for 5 weeks.
Mm.
And so basically the patient looked to the resident and said, how do I get out of this? Because he was being wheeled toward the chemo room.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and of course, to make drama be drama, you know, it's like, well, you know, this is not a prison. You can pull the tubes out and go home.
Right.
And so that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But as I walked, you know, that's kind of where the episode ended. But I looked at that in terms of, okay, both the doctor and the resident really wanted the right thing for the patient. And right before the patient decides to, like, leave on his own, the resident and the oncologist doctor had this very heated communication where they were kind of debating each other's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And the oncologist said, and you could see, and I know she's playing a part,
right,
but for the actress, for the role that she was playing, she was saying, you don't understand it, because I truly believe that every life is worth living. And it's our job as doctors to help our patients live and recognize that there's a more available to them. And I went, wow, the way she stated it, it's like she really believed that even 5 extra weeks is worth going through all this pain and torture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can tell by the way I said pain and torture, you know what side of the fence I lean on.
I think I do, yes.
However, I thought about it and I went, the writers were really brilliant, because that brought up such an excellent point that I had to go, you know what? That doesn't make her wrong.
No.
It doesn't make her wrong. It means she's passionate and she's fighting for that which she believes in with her whole heart. And the resident, you know, he plays this part of a young, cocky resident who's a know-it-all. But this was a warm, tender moment where he was truly fighting for what he believed in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you were asking, what does my inner being think about politics?
Yeah.
And I believe this is the crux of it. It's like we all really believe in something very strongly, and we tend to fight with everything in us to do it the way we think is right, the way we think we're going to make a difference. And I believe that's why I was able to watch the political debates without it negatively impacting me, because I have a very strong belief system now that I truly believe that all of humanity wants something that's going to make them feel good and wants to feel fulfillment. I believe that's just part of the mandate of us coming into physical existence. Not everybody can articulate that, but I really believe at the heart of man, I believe that's what all of humanity desires. I believe that's what all of our inner beings desire. And so I will say that in the area of politics, I have focused on that enough with these new empowering thoughts that it doesn't make it hard for me anymore to be around that conversation. However, okay, it doesn't mean I want to purposely put myself in that day in and day out.
Sure. You don't have to inundate.
Right. But when I come across it, you know, if I were to be at a family function and somebody wanted to put on something political, I wouldn't have to storm out of the room because I just can't take it. But I used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I used to. I wouldn't make a big deal out of it, but I would find a reason to like go into the kitchen or you go play with the kids or whatever, because I knew at that time my beliefs were not powerful like they are now for me to stay in that room without getting upset or angry.
Well, that's what eye rolling is for. When you roll your eyes, that's the socially correct way to walk out of the room. No, but seriously, the whole point that it's really all about different ways of that people look at the same thing with the same overall goal. I'm not 100% sure that everybody has the same goal, but I'll, for the sake of discussion, I'll grant that. What I am sure of is that it's all about preferences. That's one of the things that I really love Abraham for, because they made it clear that there really is no such thing as right or wrong. There's really no such thing as good or bad. What there are preferences, and they're personal, and they're different from person to person. That helps me a lot. That helps me to even understand people who I would otherwise consider to be monsters. I don't want to be anywhere near them. I don't want to have anything to do with them. But at least I have some basis now for understanding them and maybe even appreciating them. And I know, we just talked about it here, I know if I can find some way to find the good in them and focus on that, I'm going to influence them toward what I consider to be the good, even if they had no intention of going that way. So I take some solace in that. Is it a complete solution? Maybe not. But it's better than anything I've ever run into before that.
You can't see me, but I'm nodding my head.
Yeah, I mean, we can get wrapped up in stuff, and we do. I do. I know everybody does. But the nice thing is, we don't have to stick with that pattern. I mean, it's like the story that Abraham tells about how Esther had problems driving out of her driveway, because if she drove out, most of the time the nose of her car would bump along the driveway as she came down the hill, and then, you know, it flattened out. And somebody told her, well, in order to do that, you have to do X. And so she would do X every time, and it would still hit the nose. And didn't matter if it kept hitting the nose, she just kept doing X every time, because that's all she knew how to do, until somebody else said, well, why don't you just go down the other side of the driveway? And it never occurred to her that she could try another way of doing it. You know, the whole idea of, you know, repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result is insanity. That didn't occur to her. Just didn't occur to her. Well, we all do that. We all have these behaviors that we engage in. We do it over and over and over again, and we expect a different result, and when the different result doesn't come, we go, at some point, you got to laugh at yourself. Like, you know, how many times are we going to say, before we finally get like, well, that you probably shouldn't keep doing that. It's like the old joke, doctor, doctor, my arm hurts whenever I do that. And the doctor says, well, don't do that.
Don't do that.
And yet we keep doing it. It's just crazy. It's amazing. So,
well, and I think from a very human, realistic perspective, when we've been trying to do something because we want a certain result and we keep doing that same thing over and over, the more we do it over and over, we don't recognize we're actually creating momentum.
We are.
For us to continue to do it more the same.
Absolutely.
Over and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
So breaking that pattern where momentum has already taken effect sometimes can be tricky, because if you have a snowball, you know, that's at the top of the hill and you can grab it right before it starts going on the decline, it's good.
Yeah.
But once a snowball is going downhill, how do you get out in front of it?
You don't, if you're smart, unless you want to get run over.
Right. And so, you know, Abraham's approach is wait till it hits the bottom, let it crash. It'll be over soon. And then think of a new direction.
That's right. Yes. Probably, preferably one that doesn't involve rolling another snowball down a hill.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, we just have to live with whatever we've created when there's a lot of momentum on it. And if we can remove our attention from whatever that thing is, then the momentum will slow. Basically, it will come to an end. And then you can turn things around. But don't try to turn things around while you're going downhill. You know, literally remove your attention would be the right thing to do. Just remove your attention the best you can. And if that means go watch TV or go take a run or play with your children or whatever, anything you can to distract, that's what you need to do when you're going in the direction you don't want to go and it's going at a fast pace. You know, that's when people will come into law of attraction and go, well, how can I turn my life around? Well, you can, but first you got to kind of let this thing slow down. Like, I can remember I had a couple come to my house for marriage counseling. They lived in the city that I'm in. And I was deeply concerned for them, because when she called to set the appointment on the phone, you know, before I accept a couple to do marriage counseling, I'll say, well, is your husband on board with this? And she said, well, yes, because we're pretty close to divorce. So I said, but that's not my question.
Right.
Will he be as invested in wanting to change as you sound like you are invested? She goes, well, he says he is. And I said, all right, well, let's just start with a session and see what happens. And I said, within one session, we'll have a conversation. I will absolutely be able to identify where you're at and we'll have a plan for going forward. So I would, you know, it's an hour session. The first 30 minutes, I was practically yawning. Mm. I was so bored because I'm thinking, she's just telling me stuff. It's pretty much reiterating what she told me on the phone.
Mm.
And I said, this is not who the two of you really are. Mm. You told me that the two of you are pretty darn volatile. And I said, right now you're both playing really nice and you're being kind to him and he's being kind to you. And not that that's a bad thing, but I said, this is not who you are in your everyday life. You're doing this performance for me. I need to see who you really are. Whew, did I unearth that one?
Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, they started being who they really were. And I saw the momentum that had been in play now for years. It was fast. It was furious. Neither one could get a word in edgewise. She would start biting and cutting him with horrible, ugly slurs. And he wasn't even hearing it because he was throwing them back at her. And I was like, oh, this is the best example of momentum as I've ever seen. And I'm like, holy cow. So now I got to tell you, well, it took me 10 minutes to get them to shut up.
I'm sure.
Because I couldn't get a word in edgewise. I had to stand up. They were in a two-seat couch, and I was in a recliner sitting across from them. I had to stand up, and I go, stop, stop. And they looked at me like, huh? You know? And I said, okay, I'm now ready to assess the two of you where we are. They wanted to keep throwing barbs at each other. I'm like, no.
You were eight, nine minutes ago, actually. You got it after the first minute. They had to keep going.
I know. I'm like, you guys wasted the first 30 minutes of your performance because, man alive, this is what I needed to see. This is what I needed to evaluate. And I just said, I'll be really honest with you. As much as I am the optimistic of all optimists, I said, you two have come to me at a point in your relationship where you kind of waited too long. And I'm not saying that things can't be turned around because I believe anything can be. But I said it would take a lot of effort for the two of you to turn your lives around in a way that the two of you can stay as a couple. Because I said right now the two of you hate each other. They're like, well, no, we don't. I said, oh, no, I'm seeing what you're saying. They're the most hateful, vile words I've ever heard. And so they both set up an individual appointment with me for the next week. He was a no-show, and she showed up, and she said, I'm filing for divorce. And that didn't surprise me.
That didn't surprise me either.
Because the truth was, I saw where they were in the state of where the momentum had taken them. They'd been doing these behaviors for a really, really, really long time. And I said, if you want to change this, you've got to get off of all the stuff you're focusing on. Because right now the momentum is just, it's like carrying you in the tide. Like you might be in a stream and it's moving, the water's moving really fast and you're like heading west or whatever direction you're moving with the direction of the water flow. You can't swim fast enough the opposite direction to make any headway because the river is just taking you downstream. And that's kind of where they were in their marriage. And it was sad.
Yeah.
But that, to me, was one of the best examples of momentum.
Well, there was also a happy side, too. The happy side was they were at least going to stop the momentum together because they were no longer going to be together. Now, there's still going to be momentum apart, but it's like half the momentum because they don't have each other to fuel each other on. So now at least they have a chance to start turning their own lives around. But with the other one, I'm not sure how they had a chance.
Well, and I would agree. That's kind of what I was focused on.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we're at the end of the show.
I know. It's kind of a rough way to end the show, but it's still a great point, and it was good bringing up, so I'm glad you did that. Definitely worth carrying on tomorrow, because tomorrow is actually going to have a little bit of a happier topic, so that's a good thing, too. So we'll just plan to do it again tomorrow. What do you say?
I will be here. Well, let's do it again.
I'll be here as well. We hope you join us as well here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye now.